Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
When I sit back and imagine life without you, I can't fathom how I ever thought I'd make it on my own. And there's at least a million reasons I'm still standing here believing. You're my comfort, you're my healing. This I know.
Yes, I know.
When you can't see the wind, but it moves the leaves from the bottom to the top of the tallest trees. You are everything I'll ever need, and they can't take that from me.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, as we look into the book of Acts. Those of you who have been following along with us and enjoying a cup of coffee during this wonderful reading of God's Word, we're here to tell you, Happy Christmas. Yeah. Merry, merry, merry Christmas.
Yeah, it's a wonderful time of the season. We're excited with the singing Christmas tree here at Bethany. Lots of great stuff happening.
The Singing Tree is coming up this weekend.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this Sunday morning, we have performances this afternoon at 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock, and then next Friday at 7, Saturday at 6, and the following Sunday at 3 and 6 as well.
You won't want to miss it. It has a full orchestra with the conductor and solo singers and 60 people in the Singing Tree, and it's just a wonderful way to get into the Christmas spirit.
It is a beautiful way, yes.
So in Acts chapter number 13, in verse number 36, we read this. For when David had served God's purpose, now that's a power, we could stop right there, because serving God's purpose, when you can say that you've served God's purpose, then that gives you some kind of credibility, I think, with your own self and with God himself.
It's exciting to know that you know what God wants to do in and through you, and he's clear. He'll let you know. The Holy Spirit will speak to your heart, and you will know if you're in the middle of his perfect will or if you're outside of it.
It's true. So he served God's purpose in his own generation, and he fell asleep.
Amen.
Hey, you know, you wonder how that really comes out. He fell asleep. He just went to sleep. What a way to go.
Yeah, huh? You know, you read this verse and you kind of think, okay, well, sleeping. Yeah, but we know it kind of means a little something else here. But when you're done with something and you've completed the task, you need a little bit of rest. And that's what he did.
It's interesting. Paul likes to use this word sleep.
Yeah.
That people don't die. They just sleep, because eventually their body's going to be resurrected. Right. So they're just kind of like sleeping for a little while.
Yeah. It's just stuff ceases to function for a little bit, just like when you go to sleep at night, everything gets shuts off, you know. But Paul also talks about to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. But here he uses that picture so people can understand that there is something coming in the future.
Yeah. And he was buried with his fathers. So if you've been in Israel, you'll find the tomb of David. You'll find that there were tombs there that they had for certain people. And he's buried with his father, and his body decayed.
Yeah.
But the one who God raised from the dead did not see decay. Amen. Now he's talking about who here?
He's talking about Jesus.
He's talking about Jesus. So Jesus, we know that he died. We know that he was placed in a tomb. It wasn't his father's tomb. It was a tomb of a very rich man. No one had ever used the tomb before. Jesus was placed in this tomb.
Yep.
They wrapped him in all kinds of cloth with herbs and spices, figuring that he might decay and this might keep the smell down.
Right.
But he doesn't.
No.
He rises from the dead, and of course, you know, he goes into the very depths of hell to take the keys of death away from Satan himself, and then he rises, and the disciples, they see him, and so it says his body did not decay.
You know, he was standing at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, and you know, people were saying, don't move, don't open the tomb, because he's been in there 4 days, and surely he stinks by now. And so, you know, Jesus was in the tomb Friday night, all day Saturday, early Sunday. So, you know, after a while, dead bodies begin to stink and to decay, and it happens fairly rapidly. But here, Scripture is fulfilled. You know, the week before, verse number 35 of Acts chapter 13, one of the psalmists write, "You will not let your Holy One see decay," talking about Jesus. And here, Paul is just affirming that word, that this Jesus that was crucified and is risen from the dead, because people saw him. They saw him alive. His body came back to life, and there was no decay in it at all.
Now, this is written because the next sentence says, "Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you."
Yeah.
Because Jesus is the first one. He's the only one that has ever risen from death.
Right.
And he died for our sins. He took our place. So he's helping us to understand that if you ask for forgiveness of sins through this one who took our sins upon himself and who rose from the dead, it's a sign that you yourself can be forgiven of every sin.
And enjoy eternal life, because Jesus will never die again. There's some that Lazarus came back to life, but he died again. And so his his body is decaying in the grave. There are others who may have, you know, the widow's son that Jesus raised from the dead, he died again. And so there are some that have faced death twice, at least from a scriptural standpoint. But there is the promise of eternal life, that Jesus is that first fruits of those who have died, come back to life. And he says the same thing for us. One day, our bodies are going to come back to life and we'll live forever with him.
And this is what he's proclaiming. He's preaching this message to the people. And he says, through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses.
Wow.
So the law of Moses, you know, when he preaches in the synagogues, the people understood that the things and the sins that they did from the law of Moses. And he says, well, you're probably not going to get forgiveness from some of these things that you have done just through the law of Moses, but you're going to get them forgiven through Jesus Christ, who took every sin upon himself for you.
It's amazing to me to think of the work that Jesus Christ did, what we have available as Christians, as believers, that we don't have to earn it through the law, that we can't, Paul just said, you can't be justified through the law, because we all are lawbreakers and we're sinners. Some do certain things, others do other things. You know, many of us do the same things, but whatever it is, in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven of all things.
It's kind of difficult for some people to think that they're sinners because they have really not done anything that they consider is wrong. But in all of our lives, you've done something wrong somewhere. Yeah. You've had a lustful thought. You've had a evil word that you've spoken. You've lied. You've cheated. You've stolen. You've done something.
Yeah.
Even if it's small, it still breaks the law of God. It's still not legal. And so what you need to do is you need to find forgiveness. And the only place you can find forgiveness is in Christ Jesus completely.
It's amazing that we are as those sinners. I love what Paul says in Romans, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. It's at that point, because we're sinners, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to do what we can't do on our own. And so in that amazing act of God's grace, we are given that wonderful gift of salvation. We're adopted into his family. We're justified just as if we've never sinned. We are sanctified. We're made holy, even though we're sinners. And then he calls us his children. It's so beautiful to see the amazing grace and mercy and love that's given to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
So he gives us wonderful promise that's found in Christ Jesus, but then he's going to warn us, and he says, take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you.
Yeah. Ooh,
that's pretty dangerous, because the prophets have said some terrible things.
They have.
You know? And so he says, be careful that it doesn't happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, the Holy Spirit came on the Old Testament prophets, and God didn't hold back at all. He spoke. He said, here's the deal. If you do this, then I will do this. But if you do this, then you're going to feel my wrath. If you turn to me and repent, I will come to you and I will rescue you. But if you refuse to turn to me, if you refuse my grace, my mercy, then you will suffer wrath, because he's a just God. And all of us deserve punishment for our sin. And all of us have sinned.
Yeah. So Paul is not, like you say, he's not holding back any punches. And Barnabas is with him, and they're preaching the gospel. They're telling the good news. The good news is that there's forgiveness for sin in Christ Jesus. But know that your sin's going to find you out, and you're going to get in trouble if you do not find the love that God has expressed through Christ Jesus. If you don't receive that into your life, then you'll be judged by the law, and you'll be under the law. And as Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. So it's interesting that even though he was very difficult and he was very hard on them, they wanted to hear more. They were ready to hear more.
They were ready to hear more. There was something in what he was saying. And that's the amazing thing about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the story of Jesus Christ and what he's done, is a lot of times when people hear it, they want to hear more.
They do. I likened it sometimes unto a dentist. When the dentist says, get ready, this is going to hurt a little bit. Well, you know he's doing it for your benefit.
Right.
And if you've got an abscess or you've got a tooth that needs to be pulled or something, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
But it's going to hurt, but you're going to be better off.
Temporarily, it hurts.
You're going to be a whole lot better off.
In the long run.
So I think that's a good way to look at the gospel. You may not like it. You may think, well, it's really hard for me to go to church. It's really hard for me to sit and listen because I feel convicted. But the idea is that it is for your benefit and that you will be better off after. You feel better when you come out of the church than when you went in. You feel better when you have confessed your sins than you did before.
That's the great thing, is when you do come to the Lord Jesus Christ and when you hear the message of Christ and when you respond in faith and you experience God's grace and his mercy, some people say it like washes over them and cleanses them, and they feel like they get a clean slate. They feel like they get a new lease on life. They feel like the weight of the world is taken off their shoulders, whereas before, they're walking around burdened, hurting, helpless, hopeless. But when they come to Christ, people are healed, and they're made whole, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It's a wonderful thing to come into contact with a God who is way beyond our comprehension, but who says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you.
And it's interesting that the people did say, all right, this has very been difficult to listen to, but we wanted you to speak some more to us
about it.
Come back again. No, it's nice when a preacher gets invited back again.
Amen.
That's a good sign. The congregation says, we'd like to hear you again.
Yeah.
And he says, and when the congregation would dismiss, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. So church is over, but it's not over. It's never over until it's over.
It's, you know, one of the great things I like about church is after we say our prayer, our final prayer, is when people just kind of linger and hang around and talk.
And they do.
And they talk about the service, or they talk about what God's doing in their life, or they come up for prayer, and they just want to talk a little bit more about it, and they just want to connect just a little bit more to what God is doing.
And, you know, it's interesting. They encourage them to continue in one thing, the grace of God.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, everyone needs grace.
Yep.
Grace is an extension of giving you something you don't deserve.
Right.
He does things for us even though he knows us, even though he recognizes our frailty. He loves us. He sees beyond us, and he sees our faith in Christ, and he begins to release into our life this wonderful grace, this wonderful experience that we have, where you can live with yourself, where you can live with your spouse, you can live with the unruly children, because there's a grace that God gives you that enables you to show love.
I deserve the judgment of God.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we're all sinners.
We all do.
I deserve it, but by God's grace, I don't get what I deserve. I get love, and I get joy and peace and all those things that he presents. Doesn't mean life is always easy, but when I walk through life with his grace at work in my life, it is easier.
It is. And on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. So first it's a few in the synagogue. Then they walk outside the synagogue and they're still talking. They're talking about Jesus. They're talking about this wonderful message of grace. And they keep talking and keep walking. And I would imagine that in between the services, the next synagogue would be the next Sabbath.
Yeah.
And so people are spreading the word, and when they spread the word, all of a sudden now, we get almost the whole city now comes to hear. Yeah. Now, that's pretty amazing when you think about it.
It's incredible. You tell people that, hey, we know a guy who died, nailed to a cross, rose from the dead, and he's the savior of the world. And they started talking about it to everybody, and they're like, we got to hear this. This is incredible.
And the whole town comes out.
And the whole town comes out.
That's pretty amazing when you think about the whole town coming out.
Yep.
When the Jews saw the crowds now, we got people now. Remember that this is not here in the synagogue, but we got the whole town coming out. Now it's not just Jewish people, it's everybody. So we got Gentiles and Jews coming out now. And so it's all of a sudden, it says, when the Jews saw the crowds, they were jealous. And they talked abusively against what Paul was saying.
Yeah.
It's amazing how when the I think when you see the success that takes place, how jealousy can arise within the hearts of certain people that probably think that they have a corner on the truth.
Yeah.
They got their corner. I know this truth. And a jealousy rises up against them.
Yeah. So here's the synagogue leaders. They've been there who knows how long.
Yeah, preaching.
They've been preaching out of the same scrolls, saying the same things.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not saying the same things. They've been preaching out of the same scrolls.
Same scrolls.
And then these guys come in here with some newfangled teaching, and all of a sudden the whole town comes out. I get it. But sometimes the truth is going to stir people up in a good way. The whole town comes out, and sometimes the truth is going to stir people up. You kind of see the two sides here. Some people receive the message. Some people reject the message.
Yeah, very much like what Jesus said. It'll be mothers against children, fathers against sons, and it'll be a division that takes place. And we see it in the world today. There is a division that's taking place. We see that people are completely against anything that is of God, anything that smacks of religion.
Yeah.
They're against it. And then those who have received the Spirit of God within their life, they're completely for God. And the Bible does tell us that if you don't have the Spirit of God within you, then you cannot receive anything from God. So that's why we have this division that's taking place.
Yeah.
And a lot of it comes from a hatred, I think. There's a hatred towards God, which if you believe in God, there are some responsibilities that you have to withhold. You have to take them into your spirit, into your life, and say, if this is really God, then I do have some responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what was going on here is, Paul.
Do you believe?
Paul was laying it on the line here. Here's the truth. I'm proving it from the same scrolls that you read from. Here's the truth. Here's what happened. Here's Jesus Christ fulfilling all these things. It's really happened. And there was a choice that had to be made.
And then he goes on, and Paul and Barnabas answered these people who were speaking abusively against them. We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it, you do not consider yourself worthy of eternal life. We now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty heavy statement. So it's kind of like Jesus said, brush your feet.
Yeah. Shake the dust off. Yeah.
And move to the next group.
Yeah. Paul is not going to waste his time. He's not there to cause trouble. He's there to preach the truth and for it to bring life.
And this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. We hope that you join us at our singing tree this Christmas, and I hope that you find Jesus, the real Christ of Christmas, in your heart and life. Have a great day. God bless.